Hello and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello and welcome, Ed.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's great to be here, and I hope you're ready for a stimulating conversation.
I am always ready. I think I'm always ready for a stimulating conversation.
Do you consider yourself an expert in education?
Well, I would have to ask what expert means, I guess, because I have an idea of what expert means.
You've gone through, you've been educated, I'm assuming.
Well, I've been in the classroom, mm-hmm. but I don't know if that makes me an expert on necessarily turning around and either teaching someone else or making decisions about education.
And that's exactly our topic.
That is our topic. Sort of everybody's an expert on education, primarily because just about everybody's been through schooling, mostly formal schooling, some informal schooling of some kind. And a lot of people sort of assume that that experience somehow makes them an expert.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's an even more profound than that if you think about it. Certainly at the higher end, you know, at higher education, a person works really hard in their field and becomes an expert and a scholar in their field. And you know, that raises the question, is that enough to make them someone who's going to be a really effective, powerful teacher? But just because you have a PhD, does that mean that you are an expert in education? It's an interesting question.
So can I tell you the question that popped into my mind that's kind of related to this, not completely, but I don't even want to say this sentence because I think it's offensive, but I'm going to say it. Let's
Good.
Just throw it on the table.
Absolutely.
Those who can do, those who can't teach.
Exactly. And of course, there's two more parts to that.
I've never heard. What are the other parts?
Well, this is not coming from me, but this
you're relaying.
Okay, yeah, I'm relaying. Okay. But the other part of that little thing is that those who can't teach, teach gym. And those who can't teach gym are guidance counselors. Now I'm not saying anything, of course, and it's all it's a joke, but it is sad that there is this sense that if you are teaching, you're not doing something. And I find that offensive, although I don't think anyone really means harm by it. But as an educator, I mean, I've given 30 years of my life, far more than half my life, to trying to move people. But then it brings back the question, which we talked about a long time ago, what is education? And quite frankly, if it's going to be just a list of things that you have to memorize and then quickly forget, then quite frankly, probably not that interesting, and anyone can do that. You know, here, Jennifer, memorize this. But if you're really trying to have an impactful experience, and if you're trying to offer an experience to your students that will be with them in a positive way and will change them so that they can be their best selves, that really takes a lot of thought and a lot of commitment and dedication. And quite frankly, just because we've experienced education going through the process as students, I don't think necessarily means that therefore we know what's best.
So that makes for interesting thinking, especially sort of at this time of the year. The 2015 Texas legislative session is underway. One of the topics that comes up every session, you know, no matter what, is funding for education, often the public education system in Texas and higher ed also. No doubt that's on a lot of minds and mouths now. But I'm interested to hear from you, from your vantage point, what it's like to watch folks who have other areas of expertise making decisions about your area of expertise.
Well, first of all, to be fair, I think that especially if you're thinking about leaders in government, whether it's local or at the federal level, I mean, I think that they are engaging with experts to find out. And I'm always available, by the way. This is a call. Anyone can call me anytime, and I'd be delighted to be an expert witness or to give you any ideas. I think that, you know, of course, budget issues are everywhere, persists across the globe in every single subject, not just education or higher ed. The question that I would be asking if I were in the legislative body would be, what are we delivering? So what is it? Not just the cost, but what is the benefit? And this is one of the things in my leadership role at Southwestern that I'm constantly challenging our community to think about. What is it that we're offering? And to me, if we're offering something that has value, then we should put money behind it. And if we're offering something that has little value, then I wonder why we have to spend so much on it. I mean, it's a cost-benefit analysis. And I'm trying to create a template for seeing education at all levels, from nursery school all the way through graduate school and beyond, as a life-changing, life-sustaining proposition that will allow people to become their best.
So I'm going to throw a proposition out of the table. Could it be better that people who are not experts in education are making these decisions because they can be maybe a little dispassionate or detached about it? And as you say, you know, often their budget and other constraints that come into play. So what if it makes more sense to let those folks make those decisions and let people with your expertise make your decisions? I'm just throwing this out for conversation.
Yeah, well, but what I think is that there's also reality. The reality is that I will never be in a position, unless I run for office, for public office, to make budgetary decisions about education. So there's a reality here. The reality is that we have government officials that decide how much to spend. And quite frankly, at the local level, including at the state and then even at the, you know, kind of more local levels, are making decisions about curriculum. Now, whether that's right or wrong, we can debate that. But the reality is my job is to educate people so that they can say, you know what, is this curriculum doing what we really want it to do? And so I'm trying to bring my voice to the table to say what we want is to have people be able to think very effectively, for them to create, to be innovative, to be able to see the consequences of the decisions, to make wise and thoughtful decisions, and to become their best. That is the point of education. Now, take any curriculum you want, bring it forward, and I'm hoping that over my career, people will begin to see that that's the measurement, that's the metric to use to measure success or failure. But the money and the stuff, I mean, of course, people are elected to do that, and they will. And just move on, Jennifer, move on.
So,
and they're wonderful people. We love them all.
So I want you to bring in this week's math puzzler. You said success or failure.
Ah.
So, but failing can be good when it's done intentionally.
Absolutely.
We've discussed that in the past. So I'm ready for either scenario.
Okay. Well, no, of course, it's always going to, we always end with success, even though we might have failed attempts along the way. That's the requisite thing. Well, since everyone, we're talking about how everyone's an expert at everything, I thought everyone's an expert at arithmetic, so I'm going to give you an arithmetic question. What could be easier?
I've got to challenge the premise of that. Everyone's an expert at arithmetic?
Well, everyone except myself, because I have trouble multiplying 7 times 8. It's either 56 or 54. It's something with a 50. Okay, okay. So besides that, but everyone else is. Here is a math riddler.
Okay.
That is just arithmetic. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. So an antique dealer bought an item for $7.
Okay.
Turned around and sold it for $8.
Okay.
Then bought it back for $9.
Uh-huh.
And then sold it yet again for $10.
Okay.
Question? How much profit did this antique dealer make? That's the question. There you go. Now, it's just arithmetic. And if you sit down and really think about it, uh-huh, you will get the right answer.
Yeah.
But if you think about it quickly, it's interesting how, in fact, you can be deceived.
And the question is about how much profit, right?
Correct. How much profit did the antique dealer make? And that's all we're going to say.
Right.
And I want this to be, I'm not going to give you the answer. I want this to be a little math hanger.
Uh-huh.
And people will have to stay tuned to our next episode if they want to hear the answer and hear the wrong answer too.
Right. Well, an answer popped into my head,
mm-hmm,
that I think.
Show me with your fingers. Okay, say it out loud.
Zero.
Okay, there's the first guess.
That's my first guess.
There, and I like it. And I like it. I like it because it illustrates something. It illustrates that you're thinking, which I love.
I was thinking, and I zeroed in on a particular word. I'm not going to say which word, but there was a word in there that I think there's some wiggle room.
Ah.
But we'll revisit this next week.
Was the word nine? Do you think nine is a wiggly number?
That was not actually it. That was not the
antique?
Word.
Antique? Do you consider antique?
Well...
Oh, a dealer.
Are we
it's the
antiques?
Dealer.
No, it was not dealer. It was none of those
words.
Well,
you're younger than I am, so I'm an antique in the room.
It was none of those words.
Okay.
I will let you all sort of ponder that for the next week. And I'm going to stick to my answer of zero, and we will find out in the next installment.
If you're right or wrong.
If I'm right or wrong.
And
it's okay either way.
Either way.
It's okay.
We love you, Jennifer.
It's okay either way.
Of course.
So we are talking this week about kind of that idea that everyone is an expert on education. We've got a lot of folks out there making decisions about education, and we've all been through an education system of some sorts, going through school, and we all kind of think, you know, anybody who drives a car also, they kind of think they're, you know, they're the best driver on the road and they know what's best. And it just kind of makes me think a little bit bigger picture about a need for us to feel like an expert, to be in charge, to have control. I mean, it seems like there's some bigger picture issues at play here also. And when you sort of intersect that with a system that impacts so many of our young people and is so sort of integral to our future, it's really kind of a powder keg.
Absolutely. It's very impactful when you're thinking about education in terms of the future of this country and the future of the world. And I think you're right. I think that there's definitely a psychological element where we want to be experts in things. But it's interesting, even, by the way, for the experts, because we've all experienced it. You said, you know, oh, everyone experienced education, so therefore we become experts. But because we experience education, the experts will perceive that as how we do things. I mean, we teach the way we learn. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult for experts to really do something totally different. You know, we have this Paideia curriculum at Southwestern University, which integrates ideas together. That is a huge undertaking because no faculty member at Southwestern, and I have not experienced learning that way. And so you are creating something that you yourself have not even experienced. And I know that in a future episode, we're going to talk about inquiry-based learning and mm-hmm. the idea of the flipped classroom, which yes. is kind of big now. And the truth is, none of the current faculty today experience that really, although inquiry-based learning has been around. If you experience that as a student, then you are a little bit better equipped to appreciate the nuance in presenting and teaching that way. If you've never experienced that as a student, it's really hard and it takes a while. So this idea of having this experience, this life history, sometimes even for the experts, holds us back if you want to rethink everything and offer something different. It's a real challenge. So it's not just for the pseudo-experts, but even for the genuine experts, because we experience this thing and we think it's education and that's what we deliver.
So sometimes the teachers are learning along with the students and maybe learning different topics. Students are learning...
In the ideal world... the teachers are learning right with the students, and I would argue that, you know, maybe the teachers are learning even more.
Ooh, a topic for another time.
Great.
Add that to the list.
There you have it.
Thank you,
Ed. More work for myself.
Right, who never stops thinking. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. Find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.